This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today an inspiring discussion with a good friend, Chuck Greenwood. Chuck is a member of our parish at Christ the King here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. His wife, Diane, they have some lovely kids, and Chuck was telling us a story, beginning to tell the story of his journey. He's kind enough to come in. I've asked him to share with us because he's had kind of an amazing ride, but the kind of things, the journey he's had is, I think, in some ways unique, obviously, but also typical for many Catholics. Lived as a young boy, felt really close to the Church, had real faith. As he got into high school and college, sort of lost it. Not like he walked away from it, but it just ended up sitting on the back bench, and he pursued his career radically. He ended up in New York City at 5 moves in 6 years, ended up getting a big-time job with a big corporation in New York City at the age of 30. And we left the show yesterday where Chuck was talking about how the spiritual journey and the spiritual change in his life began to happen. So welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, let's go back to that moment. So just describe again the context of where you were at the moment, and then this guy and
happened. To sum it up, I was absorbed with the New York City culture. I loved it. I was having success, but there was something. I hired this other guy, and as a head of technology, and there was just something different about him. He wasn't the typical New York City executive kind of guy. He was happy. He was forthcoming. He was always positive. And he never had a negative word to say. Mm-hmm. But he was very bright and very successful. And I just gravitated to him. And yeah. I would make excuses to be around him. So one day I finally just got desperate because I was unhappy inside. Yeah. And I went up to him and said, I got to have what you have. I don't know what it is. There's something different about you and I want it.
Yeah.
And he said, what I have is Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you like it, I'd love to share him with you. And of course, my first reaction was, I'm a Catholic. I know Jesus. He says, no, I have him personally. He's a personal friend.
Yeah.
He's a personal relationship. I want to share that with you. If you want, I'll pray with you right now, and we'll do that. And in the middle of New York City, in this, this New York Daily News building, the Superman building, we shut the door, and he just prayed over me. And he prayed a prayer for, first of all, repentance for all the things, and just led me through that. And then a prayer of accepting, Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and asking the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon me. And this is, I remember even when this was happening, looking around, I can't believe I'm doing this, but it was great. It was, it was a great moment. I felt tremendous. There was a feeling of just peace. All of a sudden, in the craziness of New York City and corporate life, there was all of a sudden this peace that he had, kind of...
It was contagious. He was spreading mellow. The good infection.
Just kind of mellowed out.
Yeah.
I didn't know what happened to me.
And you didn't even take a drug to get there.
No. And I mellowed out. I didn't even know what happened to me. And he said, so how's that? I said, this is great. What do we do now? kind of a thing. But that's really, really where I first encountered Christ. Hmm. And that began a different journey for me.
Yeah.
And again, the contrast of lives, the corporate life in New York City, and all of a sudden you interject Christ. Well, I wish that would have been the end of the story. I fell in love with the Lord and, everything was great.
Yeah. But what's interesting is, and this is somewhat typical, I think, of the experience of a fair number of Catholics, that now you look back and you talk with a great sense of just warm memories and real gratitude for the faith you had as a child in the Church. But somehow in the later developmental years of high school and college, and then the passion of work, it doesn't get translated. You lose that simplicity of a child and a childlike faith, and you just get caught in the pursuit of all the goals in the world. And then faith isn't personal. It becomes something on the back bench, as we were saying yesterday. And then as an adult, we have to come to a point in our life to say, do I really know Jesus Christ? I mean, as a Catholic, can I say I know him and I know God in a personal way? God is my Father and Jesus as my Savior and things like that. Many, many baptized Catholics had the exact same experience in various ways that you're describing for yourself. And so here you are, a lifelong Catholic, and you're giving your life to Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's not like he wasn't in your life in some way, but clearly you had not said, okay, I want him at the center of my life. I want what he wants. You had not come to that point yet in your life because there was no room for that in your life to that point. So, all right, so this guy was kind enough to bring you to that place. God used him. So then what happened from there?
Well, that's what I said. Well, what do I do now? I said, well, you know, he was a Protestant.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we have these prayer meetings. I lived in Connecticut and he lived in Jersey, but around there everybody lives in, you know, one of the burbs or one of the city or the states outside of New York City. He said, come down to Jersey with me, take the train some night, and we'll go to prayer meeting. I said, well, I'd like to bring Diane, you know, and
your wife,
she ought to
Diane,
be part of this. My wife Diane, and she ought to be with me on this. He said, well, then maybe just drive down, you know, and so because they had him every Friday night, so I went home to her. And I told her what happened. She said, you what? I said, well, you know, I prayed with this guy. And he's great. You got to meet him. His name's Larry. He's fabulous. And he invited us to a prayer meeting in his house on Friday night in Jersey. It's just, you know.
It's a long way from Studio 54.
Studio 54, you know, or Saturday Night Fever. I mean, it was just. But anyway, I mean, I was, at this point in time, everything that I did, as just as like I took every job, you know, that I could, even if it was a crazy job and I should, you know, it was risky, I always went all in. So when he prayed, I went all in. I said, we're going, you know. So she said, all right, you know. So we drive down to Jersey and go to his house, and it's nice, a nice little house, you know, suburban house, beautiful house, and people start showing up and they're nice, they're friendly, everybody's friendly, you know, and they all kind of get down in the basement and sing a few songs. That's good. And then they start worshiping the Lord. And Diane and I are sitting there going, what is happening?
Yeah, people are raising their hands.
They're
people are expressing joy.
They're praying in the Spirit. There's spontaneous prayer. And we looked around, and we were just both, our mouths must have just hanging open. And Diane leaned over to me and said, we have got to get out of here. You know, I said, we can't. We're in the front, you know, kind of a thing. So you know, we kind of, it was, you could have made a movie out of this. And so we sat there and we went through it, and people are prophesying and they're praying over people for healing. And you know, when it's all done, you know, we went through the meeting, you know, it's all done. And again, it was never one of, this is bad. It was just like, what is
so
this?
Different. It's just, it's so different.
Different than any experience that I ever had. And so, anyway, we got through the night. They kind of came, how was it? It was, I guess it's okay. Can we go now? We just want to get in the car and get out of there. But we're all down in Jersey. We had to sleep overnight there, you know. So, you know, she and I probably exchanged three words between each other the rest of the night. We were traumatized, you know. But not in a bad way. It was just a shock. We had never seen anything like it. And so from that experience, I was still gung-ho. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I was still gung-ho. She was not as gung-ho after that experience. And but we, like I say, my life actually started to change, even at work. You know, things started to look differently. I wasn't as interested in the work. I got involved in the Catholic Church more, you know, in Connecticut, where we went to church. And I also got involved because of this experience. When somebody talked about a prayer meeting, I said, prayer meeting? I've been to one of those. I can handle anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I started going to a meeting, and it was the Catholic Charismatic Renewal.
Connecticut?
In Connecticut. And I met a lot of people I still know now that are members of Christ the King. And I met people like Steve Tomaszewski and Dan Foley, Father Frank McGrath, all these kind of people. They're having prayer meetings. This is great. I love this stuff. And I kind of threw myself into that. And actually became one of the leaders in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the state of Connecticut. I became the coordinator for the, you know, over a number of years, became the coordinator for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the state of Connecticut.
Yeah. And so you said you began to experience just change in the workplace. How did your priorities begin to change? I mean, you continued to climb the ladder and had, you know, the Lord continue to bless you.
Continued to bless me.
Yeah. And how did your faith then merge more intimately with your career track and all that?
The first thing was time. I gave time to my faith. I gave priority. And I took the train in New York City every day. And you write books on that. I mean, you know how people do that and they stand at the same spot on the waiting to get on the train. If somebody's in your spot, you give them a dirty look. I mean, it's crazy, the whole commuting thing. But anyway, I started, you know, reading the Bible. I started reading, you know, books. I started doing other things to get myself educated on the Holy Spirit, on the Catholic Church, on doctrine and everything. Mm-hmm. So I started giving time to my faith. Mm-hmm. I still did my job, but I didn't do it with the same, not fervor, but it wasn't as important to me. I did it. Yeah. I think I did it well because I was rewarded for it, but I just didn't have the same fervor for it.
It wasn't the center of your life.
No.
In the way that it was.
Yes.
It's like what your priorities began to shift.
Yes.
And Christ became the center of your life, and he began to guide you, and you're looking to him. And instead of having this career and success like paramount in the paradigm of your life, or the whole gaze of your life, your whole horizon is that Jesus now takes center stage on the horizon, and then he starts to order and slowly put you back together and bring your life into order under his lordship.
That's extremely well said.
And
that frames it. At that point in time, I would have thought that this is it. I'm headed in the right direction. Everything is going well. I'm still doing well at work. I'm being rewarded for it. I'm really loving what I'm doing. I mean, again, I'll throw myself into something.
Yeah.
You know, and I met some wonderful people in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. My family got closer together. I mean, my wife had raised our kids, you know, the earliest parts of the years. I mean, Diane was unbelievable because I was always busy with my work.
Yeah, how many hours were you working those
days? Well, I mean, I'd leave at 6 a.m. and, you know, I'd get the 7 o'clock train home, get me home by maybe 8 o'clock, 8:30. Mm-hmm. You know, and Diane had already fed them and put them to bed.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I was one of those fathers. I had a couple of seminal moments where my son, one time, I came back from a business trip. I came back with a friend, and he called my friend, Dad. And it just, those are the kind of things I remember now.
He called your friend Dad instead of you,
me.
Yeah. Because he just saw so little of you.
Yeah, so little of me, which is, you know, really, really sad.
Yeah.
But it was reality then. You know, again, when your job's the center of your life, your family's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my family, everything started changing. And, and I thought at this point in time it would have, you know, I thought this would be it. I was headed in the right track, and there was nothing that was going to derail me.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize is that, you know, there was a lot of things that, problems that I had got me into the situation in the very first place.
Mm-hmm.
And they were from, you know, when I was really young, and those problems hadn't been addressed.
Yeah.
The external part, you know, I've certainly had the Holy Spirit, and I was worshiping, and my life was better and everything, but there were still things inside me that were not good.
Yeah.
That had to be dealt with.
Yeah, what kind of things do you mean? We just have a minute. We can just touch on those a little bit, and then we can pick them up.
Yeah, tomorrow. When I was born, I was the survivor of a botched abortion by my mom, and so that kind of started a very, very different path for me. She was told that when she was pregnant with me, the third child, that if she had me, she would die, and so she got scared. She was not a bad person at all. She just got very, very scared and tried to do it herself one time.
Oh.
And so it, you know, but that experience, you know, until I was in my 40s, shaped my life.
Wow. Well, would you mind tomorrow? Could we go into more depth on the detail on that whole thing? Friends, I'd encourage you to tune into the program tomorrow. I think Chuck has a lot of very important things to share with us about his experience and about how God heals the human heart and how God's power is great enough to overcome any obstacle we experience in our lives, any kind of trauma, any kind of pain, any kind of suffering. He's bigger than all of it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Chuck's going to share with us his experience, his concrete experience of that fundamental truth about who we are and who Jesus Christ is in our lives. Have a wonderful day. God bless you all.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.